Country Bob FM.
All right, here's the almanac for today. It is Tuesday, already February 11th. Friday is Valentine's Day.
Wow, that's right.
So keep that in mind. People get ready for that. And then on Monday, it's President's Day.
Ooh. Another day off for schools and government officials.
Should be a four-day weekend.
Right.
Valentine's Day. Ernest, didn't Ernest, he saved both of those in a three-day, four-day span. Ernest.
Yeah.
So they could do it in just one movie instead of two movies for Ernest P. Worrell, played by Jim Varney. He saves Valentine's Day and President's Day all the same weekend.
A busy time for him.
Which was perfect. Today on this date, we got a patent of the day, and really, this is the big one. It's the steamboat, Neil.
Oh, yeah.
The patent for the steamboat, one of the big patents. In the history, when you look at the steam engine and what steam could do, you heat up water, you turn a turbine, and really the options and the possibilities are endless.
Robert Fulton needs a lot of credit for, moving us forward.
1809 here this day. We're going to move on to 1892. Pike's Peak was set aside as a forest reserve. I get to see that every year. I go to Colorado Springs, the majestic... Yeah. Pike's Peak. I have yet to take that little train up to the top. Whenever I ask anybody, it just takes too long, and I might not have enough time on like a game day to like 3 hours. 3 to 4 hours, somebody said. It was 3 to 4 hours that you'd have set aside to take the ride up and then come back down.
I thought coming back down would go a little quicker, but it really doesn't. It takes about the same. And I mean, it's an arduous climb up, but it was fun. And we had the time to do it, and it was a super cool at the top to see what there is to see.
Right.
And it's a good thing, for sure.
You've already made the trip up. Why not just release the clutch and just go down as fast as it can?
I thought, let's see what this baby can do. Right. The guy driving it didn't feel the same way.
So that was 1892, Pike's Peak. 1960, late night television.
I like the National Broadcasting Company. They've been swell to me, and I've been pretty wonderful to them. I took over a show with 60 stations. There's now 158. The show is sold out. It's the highest, I think, money producer for this network, and I believe I was let down by this network at a time when I could have used their help. You have been peachy to me always. Jack, you know what I say to you?
That's Jack Parr just walking off the Tonight Show as it happened on this date, 1960, with his buddy, his sidekick. Hugh Downs had to take over. It was only 18 minutes into a show that was like an hour, 45-minute show. And they had censored him the night before on a joke, and he was not happy. It was a joke about a water closet, a toilet joke, if you will, and the NBC censors didn't like it. Jack Parr didn't like that they didn't like it. It was like a five-minute segment of the show, and they cut it out the night before. And you can hear the crowd. They didn't know really what was going on. They thought he was going to come back out, and then Hugh's got to go, I'm Hugh Downs.
Let me add a little something here. I told Jack, when he first mentioned to me what he intended to do, that I wished he wouldn't do it.
And he did. He did do it. And then Hugh pretty much showed off for the professional that he was. Just had to kind of take over the show.
Wow. What year was that?
1960.
1960.
1960.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not 1916.
Okay.
1960.
Yeah.
And then he and NBC negotiated. And then he returned March 7th. And, of course, a few years later, Johnny Carson would take over.
Would take over, right.
Now, I don't remember Johnny Carson ever walking off the show, but he had his issues with NBC. Remember,
yes,
he had the pay thing where he basically went on strike that one time. But that was...
And they paid him a lot of money,
though. They did. 1960. How about in 74? Whoops, that's not 74. This is 74.
Motorists were last handed rationing coupons over 30 years ago in World War II. But there were far fewer cars on the road then than there are today. At his news conference Monday evening, President Nixon said the gas crisis has dissolved into a problem. But it's a problem millions of motorists are still trying to cope with in long lines at their local gas stations.
It was the energy crisis of 73 and 74, the OPEC oil embargo. American motorists suffered what was probably their worst day of the energy crisis this day in 74. Many gas stations were closed. Others often limited purchases to just $3 a car. That would get you a lot of gas back then. Now it barely gets you a gallon.
Gas was 25 cents a gallon.
Right.
You know.
Some reported customer lines up to 6 miles long.
Yeah. I remember seeing on the news, you know, cars were in line to get gas and would run out of gas.
You weren't driving quite yet?
Almost. I was just short of getting my permit at this time. It was 15. So it was a crazy time. For sure, I remember it.
1983.
Hey, Lucy, I'm home.
Oh, Ricky, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Ricky! Hey, Ricky!
Oh, Lucy, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Lucy! Hey, Lucy!
Weird Al Yankovic records that song to complete his debut LP. Of course, it's Ricky.
Oh, that was choice. Just the guy, you know, like him or not, he was creative and had some skill for sure.
Was that the same album that had I Love Rocky Road? The next album after that, I think, is the one that had Eat It on it. But Weird Al, he had some success earlier in just a single that he had done. And then Dr. Demento picked it up. Everyone Rides the Bus, or Another One Rides the Bus. Another One Rides the Bus.
Bites the Bus.
But by 1983, he actually had a real record label. He had Scotty Brothers Studios that was producing.
I know you were always a fan.
Oh, always a fan of Weird Al. 2006 in the news.
Ultimately, I'm the guy who pulled the trigger that fired the round that hit Harry. And you can talk about all of the other conditions that existed at the time, but that's the bottom line. And it was not Harry's fault. You can't.
Dick Cheney, I don't know if he ever did apologize. He kind of apologizes for shooting Harry Whittington during their quail hunt, but I don't know if he ever actually apologized to Harry Whittington.
Yeah.
If that ever did happen, because that was kind of the deal a few years ago. They were saying, he's still hasn't
swing by and say, how's your hindquarters?
And I'm pretty sure he can't anymore. I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Yeah.
Harry Whittington, he was 78 years old, shot him with a 28 gauge, which I didn't even know existed, but it showed up there.
I've never heard of that.
So that's an even smaller. And they were quail hunting, which you ever tried to shoot a quail?
They're quick, I think.
They're quick and they're small, so I can understand that, maybe, I'm sure he didn't mistake Harry Whittington for a quail.
Right. No, I would hope not.
I could see if he was out partridge hunting and he shot Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, that.
Right?
That could
somebody
happen.
Last name right. Quail. A guy named Bob White. You got a guy named Bob White?
Yes, you get that?
It's a Bob White quail. Have you heard of that? Bob White quail. Yeah. So that was 2006, this date. In the news, 2012.
Exactly what happened inside the iconic Beverly Hilton remains a mystery. Paramedics raced to the fourth floor and found a lifeless Whitney Houston inside her hotel room bathtub. They tried in vain to resuscitate her with CPR.
At 3:55 p.m. this afternoon, Whitney Houston was pronounced dead at the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
Shocking news in music.
Wow, remember that? Gosh.
And then it was unbelievably how similar her daughter died.
Oh.
Also in a bathtub.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad.
She's super only 48. Sad. She's only 48, 2012.
And what a talent.
What a singing voice it certainly was. It was later determined that she had accidentally drowned due to the effects of chronic cocaine use and heart disease as a result. So she wasn't taking good care of her body.
She was not.
And having trouble with drugs. And I think Bobby Brown was a bad influence.
I believe that has been documented. Yeah.
She was 48 years old. Let's go back 3 years in the news.
Australia's government says koalas are now an endangered species in two of its states. The animals, which are native to the country, have been hit hard by environmental factors like drought, bushfires, and developers cutting trees down.
And also chlamydia. I don't know if you knew this. Chlamydia was knocking them out. This is true.
Okay.
This is true. It was this a strain of that disease that was affecting koalas and would make them sterile, and they couldn't reproduce. And what happens if a species can't reproduce, Neil?
They go away.
They go extinct. They do. So that was the fear. I'd like to go back. That was 3 years ago. I'd like to see what kind of steps have been taken and if they've been able to rebound at all in Australia, the koalas. Can you check with me? Is a koala a marsupial, Neil?
I would have to check that. It sounds right.
Going back to the quail hunting, back in my school, we had a Bob White. And guess what his nickname was?
Quail?
Quail. Yeah. Pretty fitting. We had some smart people in our school.
Yeah, we were able to put those two things together.
Let's move on to birthdays now.
I was just thinking what a waste my life's been. I mean, so as an actress, so what? I never really did anything for anyone.
Well, you entertain people.
Oh, that was just for the moment. I mean, really do something important, like being a nurse. Although I was a nurse, for one day I was Ben Casey's nurse. And you know something, Professor? In that 1 hour, we saved six people. And if it hadn't been for the commercials, we would have saved eight.
She was Ginger.
That is a good clip.
It is. And that that mole on her left cheek, was that real or was that a staged mole? Or did Tina Louise actually have that mole? That's what I'd like
to know.
I think it
was staged.
It was for the show.
I saw her in another show, and she didn't have it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Huh. Maybe she had it lasered off.
It was, yeah, it could be.
Or as Uncle Buck said to the principal or vice principal at the store, the school, here's a quarter. Go downtown, pay a rat to chew that thing off your face. As Uncle Buck said. That was Uncle Buck who said that, of course.
Yes, he was
Maisie.
Great,
Maisie was the niece, of course, that was in a little bit of trouble. So Tina Louise Ginger Grant from Gilligan's Island is 91.
Always a fan.
Always a fan. Certainly. Yeah, always a fan. Always a fan of Marianne. You know, the older you get, I become a fan of Lovey as well.
Yeah. How can Why not?
Why not? The choices were thin.
They were. Gilligan's Island. So, at some point, Lovey would move up the ladder a little bit.
Yep. Tina Louise, 91, here today.
If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad.
Sheryl Crow.
If it makes you happy.
She had that kind of whimsical, poppy, all I want to do, but then she could also get, this is a grittier song than that.
Yes,
certainly.
Yes.
It makes you
that
happy.
Is being belted out by Sheryl Crow right there.
She did that song that had some country airplay.
Yes.
Picture with Kid Rock.
That's right.
You remember that?
Yeah, it was a good song.
Sheryl Crow is 63. Sarah Palin, the former governor of Alaska.
First off, I just want to say how excited I am to be in front of both the liberal elite media as well as the liberal regular media. I am looking forward to a portion of your questions, so let's get started.
That might be Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. I'm not sure.
But how good was she at that?
She was very good.
Oh, man.
And people ask, why did she have a Minnesota accent even though she's from Alaska? And apparently the whole thing was she from Wasilla, Alaska? In that area, a lot of people from the Midwest settled there. And then that's where the accent came from. Because everybody says, boy, she sounds like she's Midwestern, you know, North Dakota or Minnesota, you know, kind of a Fargo-type accent. But that's what I've always heard. And she, of course, was John McCain's running mate 2008. Yep. That was Sarah Palin. She is 61 today. How about one of the Friends gang on our list today?
Let me just see if I've got this right. So this is a half-calf, double-tall, easy hazelnut, non-fat, no foam, with whip, extra hot latte, right? Okay, great. You freak.
She wasn't all too happy. That's only that was really hard to make. I mean, it'd be easier to put in a basement for a house than to create that drink, it would sound.
Yeah, you need to order that in advance and pick it up, you know, an hour later when you get there.
Of course, and by that time, it's cold. So Jennifer Aniston, she was good as Rachel, right? Very good, would you agree?
Outstanding. Yes. You're hard to not like Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
There's been some great movies, too. I love We Are the Millers. She was great.
Oh, yeah, she was very good in that, yes. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston, 56.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic. Does your man look like me? No. Can he smell like me? Yes. Should he use Old Spice body wash? I don't know. Do you like the smell of adventure? Do you want a man who smells like he can bake you a gourmet cake in the dream kitchen he built for you with his own hands? Of course you do.
He was the Old Spice guy.
Yes.
Look at me. Look at him. Look at me. Look at him. And I don't know if it was actually him, but did you see the Instacart commercial for the Super Bowl where they had all the iconic pitchmen and product characters? The Green Giant, Mr. Clean, the Kool-Aid man.
Yes.
The list goes on and on. He was in that. He was on the horse on the porch. And I don't know if it was actually him or a guy who looked like him, because it kind of flashed kind of fast. I hope it was him. Because
it did look like him.
Because it's Isaiah Mustafa. That's Isaiah Mustafa.
Okay.
He's the man your man could smell like man in the Old Spice. He's 51. Neil, we got some music today that you might not be familiar with. Have you at least heard of Brandy?
Yes, I had. Wasn't she in a television show too? She was an actress.
Yes, she was.
She was in a show. I don't remember what it was. A TV show, a sitcom, or something. Well, I haven't heard this song though.
It's one of her number one hits. It's called "Have You Ever," Brandy Norwood.
Okay.
And let me look and see. Was she in a what TV show was she in? You're not thinking of the sister. Those were two other, like,
twins.
Those
were, okay. I think that's what I was thinking of.
But it is listed as a, she is listed as an actress, so she's done some stuff. Maybe like on the Disney Channel or something?
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
That up.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Her name is Brandy Norwood. Yeah, why don't you look that up as I move on to the next one. Brandy. Here as we go to, this is from Mrs. Doubtfire.
We gotta dial 911 now.
Why?
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire, he's a she.
What?
They found out. Should have locked that door, Mrs. Doubtfire. Should have closed that door. He's the one who discovered that Mrs. Doubtfire wasn't all that he/she said that he/she was. Robin Williams, of course, fantastic in that movie. Matthew Lawrence, one of the Lawrence brothers. You know, his older brother was Joey Lawrence. He was the Remember him from Blossom?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So Matthew Lawrence of the Lawrence brothers is 45. Did you get an answer on Brandy?
Yes.
She was in a show.
It was Moesha.
That's the one I was thinking. Good.
Yes. Yes. And she was in that.
Moesha.
And then she was in some other.
I remember that now, yes.
She, was in I Still Want to Be Your Summer.
You've heard of Destiny's Child, though.
I have. Yes, I have.
You probably know this song. Because the big question is, Neil, are you ready for that jelly? And if you are ready
for jelly. I hope it's sugar-free.
If you are ready for jelly, what flavored jelly are you ready for? Because that's part of this song. And, of course, there's a sample of Edge of 17. Right? Isn't that what this is from? The Edge of 17? You know, Edge of 17. You recognize this guitar riff, though. That's the Stevie Nicks song.
So who is this now?
That's one third of Destiny's Child, Kelly Rowland. Who is 44 today. And the song is Bootylicious, by the way.
Jacob, put your clothes on.
Now, this may seem strange. Really strange. But stranger things happen every day. Trust me.
Kid just became a werewolf, Neil. That's from the Twilight movies. He was Taylor Lautner. They said, Taylor, you're going to act and be on this movie, but half the time you got to be without your shirt. And that's basically what happened. He was Jacob in the Twilight movies. You should watch those movies. It's about vampires, Neil. I think you'd like it.
They're
vampires
good.
And werewolves.
Yeah, that's
But then there might be too lovey-dovey for you.
Okay.
Taylor Lautner is 33. Oh, by the way, I want to give away those tickets to as well. The Disney on Ice.
Gear Daddies. Oh, Disney on Ice.
No, okay. Wait, no, that's the text to that win. The Gear Daddies and the Belfast Cowboys at Medina will give those away as part of a quiz. But first, you got to do your thing.
Okay. Gone but not forgotten today, Jim. We're going to start with inventor Thomas Edison. Now, this guy was smart, and he was ahead of his time in many, many things.
He was the the Wizard of?
Wizard of Westwood?
No, that was John Wooden. Menlo Park.
He
was the Wizard of, and that makes sense because what he was doing seemed like magic, I'm sure, to some people.
Right, like what the light bulb.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Who could do that?
Some of the stuff he was inventing was like magic. They called him the Wizard.
They said among 1,200 inventions for Thomas Edison, he came up with the light bulb, the phonograph, and many other things. A very, very intelligent, crafty Thomas Edison. Again, 1847. Fine screenwriter, gave us some great shows. Sidney Sheldon, I Dream of Jeannie, Heart to Heart, and there are many others, I believe, as well, that are not listed. I don't know if he had a hand in Green Acres, but Ava Gabor, born on this day in 1919, certainly did.
Thompson lists a few things here that a farmer should look for in a wife. She should be strong of limb, have good wind, large hands, and sturdy legs.
If that's what you wanted, you should have married my father.
Well, I mean, that's probably the right answer.
Ava Gabor's father probably was pretty good looking.
He might have been. Certainly Ava Gabor was. And she was born on this day, 1919, right? They were running them back to back to back to back. And just, I found a channel that was running the Naked Gun movies over and over. It was just awesome. Leslie Nielsen, tremendous, born on this day, 1926.
You'd better tell the captain we've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now. Tell the captain I must speak to him.
It was genius, and he was could not play Frank Drebin. Nobody could have done it better, I don't believe. And he was a really good bad guy, just evil in a Gunsmoke episode. Leslie Nielsen, born on this day, 1926.
You could have mentioned Manuel Noriega, but I went right into the music. You know, Manuel Noriega, former leader of Panama.
Yes. We used to call this isn't him.
Yeah, we used to call him all Pineapple Face.
Right. I think this is a better play. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, the great Gene Vincent. I mean, you can tell there's talent right there.
Have you ever
born on this day, 1935.
Have you ever bebop a lulud?
Yeah. Yes. So. Speaking of Gunsmoke, Emmy Award-winning actor, the great Burt Reynolds, would have celebrated today. He was born on this day, the year 1936.
Oh, I love your suits. It must be a getting a size 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
Burt Reynolds, you know, the guy only dated actresses. I didn't know he was married to Judy Carn from Laugh-In. I knew he was married to Lonnie Anderson, the Minnesotan from WKRP, had the long relationship with Sally Field, his co-star in Smokey and the Bandit.
Don't forget Dinah Shore.
And then Dinah Shore as well, he spent some time with. So dated some very pretty high-profile women in his career. Burt Reynolds, born on this day. Of course, he was Quint Asper from 1962 to 1965 on Gunsmoke.
He only dated Dinah Shore so you get tickets to her golf classic.
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand that too. Boris Pickett, you know this.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld.
They called this song the Bootylicious of 1962.
Lab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the mash. He did the monster mash. That's Bobby Boris Pickett, born on this day, 1938. Huge in 62 and then re-released, I know when I was in high school, in 1973 and did very, very well. Hall of Fame songwriter, lyricist. I just saw that, you know, I saw the Carole King story out at the Chanhassen. And Jerry Goffin, born on this day, 1939.
And they're all gone, but not forgotten.
And they're all gone, but not forgotten. Yes, indeed.
I have tickets to give away here. A pair of tickets to the Gear Daddies, Belfast Cowboys, the Medina Saturday. That's this Saturday, February 15th. It's an almanac quiz question here today. The actor Isaiah Mustafa, 51 today, appeared in some commercials for what? What product, what brand did he appear in commercials for? Isaiah Mustafa, 51 today, 763-450-0100, 763-450-0100. First one to call in with the correct answer wins the tickets to the Medina this Saturday. Neil, Tim McGraw, She Never Lets It Go to Her Heart, Bellamy Brothers and Dancing Cowboys, and Merle Haggard, Big City.
One of those in the studio audience here at my studio in Florida is a big Bellamy Brothers fan. Let's do the Bellamys.
WQPM Princeton, WLKX Forest Lake, KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KDGY Faribault, KLCI Elk River, KLCI HD1 Elk River.